Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
This is Dave Ferris, and Dave is our campus pastor at North Star Pulaski. And he's going to be preaching for us today, and Dave is a great friend. And Dave has served in North Star Blacksburg just about in every way he could possibly serve while he was here as a member. And what God is doing over in Pulaski through his congregation and his leadership is nothing short of anointed. And so you really are in for a special treat as he brings God's word to us this morning. So thanks for being here with us today. Love you.
Thank you. Love you too, man. This is why I don't like this kind of mic. Well, I'll be honest with you. Watching the Istanbul video and hearing the stories, my son's with me and a good family friend of ours, Mariah. The three of us just got back from Montreal a couple of weeks ago, and so much of what this team said and what the video reflected just like opened up a wound that wasn't even healed yet, just for our heart for the people of Montreal. And it was just so encouraging to hear about the trip, and Jeff and I were talking briefly before, it's the stories that really just kind of suck you in, and it seems like this team, I know for our team, we left a part of our heart in Montreal when we left this year, and we've been up there for 2 years now as well. So it's just an incredible experience, but it's good to be back in Blacksburg. You guys doing good?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are pumped for you guys too and what God's doing and just this groundbreaking ceremony that's going to happen here in just a few weeks. And it's really encouraging. I get asked all the time, like, are you guys building on Price's Fork? Like, nah. No, don't even ask when that's happening. But that's our friends and our brothers and sisters over in Blacksburg. And so we're pumped that you guys are getting ready to break ground. I know it's been a journey, and God is undoubtedly going to use that in an incredible way over the next however many years, right? Here we are, Think to Change, 4 years later. This is the last one. We'll have a moment of silence. It's been a great journey, and through the past 4 years, we've had a chance to walk through the meta-narrative of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's been awesome, because context is king, and so it's good to just step back and look at the overview of a God who created us in His image and loves us enough to send His own Son down to earth out of heaven to die for me. It's just an incredible reminder. So I get to end for whatever reason. But before we get into the text, which if you want to turn to, it's going to be in Romans 8. Before we get there, I want to challenge you with two perspectives, all right? Because here's the deal. You're here today, and you are either a surrendered follower of Jesus Christ or you're not. All right, there's really no in between to that. And so if you are not a surrendered believer, then my prayer is that this message, you will hear this message as an opportunity to discover a hope like you have never could have imagined before. That's my hope and prayer today. If you are not a believer in Jesus, that you would hear this as just this enlightening hope. Some of the stories that we've heard already unfolding in Istanbul and that we know of in Montreal, people that have never experienced this hope, they don't know a hope like we're going to talk about today. All right? But if you are a surrendered follower of Jesus, then my prayer is that this message would be a fantastic reminder of who we are and whose we are and where we will be one day. That's my challenge of the two perspectives today as we get in. Let's jump into Romans chapter 8. And we're going to be in a larger section than the book actually calls for, but for context, I wanted to go there. Start at verse 18. Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." This passage, before we pray for the message, this passage Paul is writing to believers, to people who are followers of Jesus Christ, and he is reminding them, listen, there was a time when you were not in God's family. You weren't there. You were hopeless. But by God's grace, we are now, those of you who have been called and saved and made into a new creation, you have been adopted into his family and you've become a child of God. And because of that, we have promises from God with a future that resides in heaven. It's an incredible passage filled with hope if you are a surrendered follower of Jesus Christ. So someday our hope is that we're going to be in heaven with our Creator and our Savior. No more pain, no more illness, and it will be perfect. Let me pray. Father God, Lord, I'm just so grateful and honored to be back with brothers and sisters who I've not seen many of them for a long time. And Lord, I'm so grateful for your church, the church where we are just one family, saved by your grace through faith, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing here in Montgomery County. Thank you for what you're doing in Pulaski County. Thank you for what you're doing in Montreal. Thank you for what you're doing in Istanbul, Turkey, and throughout the world, Father. May we never forget that you are sovereign and you are moving. Right now, I just pray that your Spirit would fill us, open ears and hearts and minds, Father. Open my mouth. Use me for your glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Something is not right. Something is not right in life. It's broken. It's just not the way that it's supposed to be. I was looking in the Roanoke Times just like this, actually this weekend, locally. I don't even have time to go into national news, but locally. Here's three headlines. Teen charged with DUI manslaughter in Bedford. Another one. A man was shot with an AR-15 after refusing to make coffee. This is local. I think this is in Giles County. But in Pulaski County, two arrested after Pulaski armed robbery. It's just, we read headlines, and if you're stuck watching the news all the time, you're in a very dark place because the news is just so negative, and it's broken. But we don't need to read headlines to realize that, man, something just is not right in this life. Something is missing. Almost every day we see it. We have stories where, if not personally in our own life, we know friends and neighbors and family who have story after story after story of brokenness and just anger and frustration and fear. We're just in a place in life where something is just not right. So knowing how to deal with the brokenness is the tough part, because we read passages like we just read and there is an eternal hope for us who are in Christ Jesus. But in the moment when we're dealing with life, how do we deal with the brokenness? Because if we're not faithful, if we're not diligent, if we're not in the Word, if we're not praying, if we're not leaning into each other, much less the Lord, then it leads into a slippery slope of just despair and hopelessness. And even if we're not, even if we never admit verbally that we are hopeless, our lives would indicate that we are hopeless. And we are surrounded by a watching world. And so we need to stay faithful and diligent. So here's the key question for today. How do we, as followers of Jesus, live in and respond in a world where things are currently just jacked up and broken and fractured? How do we live in and respond in a world where things are jacked up? Paul acknowledges that things are messed up in verse 18, right? "For I consider that the suffering of this present time isn't worth comparing with the glory that's to be revealed." So Paul's context is he's not writing this from the perspective of some ivory tower where he's not dealt with life. By the time that he wrote this, Paul has been shipwrecked, beaten. He's been kicked out of cities. He's been robbed. He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been snake bit. I mean, this guy's lived life. I mean, he's got life experience. He's not being naive to the brutal realities of life. And yet, in the midst of this, he considered, which means I've weighed the evidence. I've thought this through. This is not some impulsive response. I've considered all this and reckon it to be so. I've considered that the sufferings of this present time don't even compare. They don't compare. They are nothing compared to what we have waiting for us in heaven. So there is suffering in this life currently. Things are broken, but what Paul is saying is that the brokenness and the pain and the anger and the depression and the anxiety and the guilt that we experience, most of us, many of us on a daily basis, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. And we catch glimpses of it from time to time. But a lot of us are just stuck in ruts where, man, we're just constantly being bombarded by life. So that's Paul's context. And our context is, man, this should be a life-changing verse for some of us. It should be a life-changing verse because every one of us this morning has drug into this room some measure of baggage. You had a rough night last night. You had a fight with the family in the car on the way here. You've gotten let go from your job. You're in a horrible relationship. I mean, whatever. The list goes, it's endless. Every one of us dragged in a measure of baggage into this room this morning. So we understand that there is suffering and that we are living in a broken world. But if we believe what Paul is saying in this passage, then no matter how much we're suffering and struggling, no matter how far from the end of the tunnel we may seem to be right now, for the ones of us who have surrendered to Jesus, there is light. There is light. And you may be suffering right now. Guess what? You're not alone. You are not alone. It's not just you. It's the universe that is currently fractured. And all of creation knows this. All right, so in this passage, we see the word groaning three different times. So think about what groaning really means. This is like when you're sitting at the table and you have kids, right? And your kids say they're done, but they haven't really eaten anything. They're just done, right? And you say, well, you have to sit here until your plate's clean, or no dessert until your plate's clean, or no TV or whatever. What comes next is groaning, right? I mean, that's what kids do when they have to finish their plate. They groan, all right? Another example, Jeff calls up the band as he's wrapping up a message. They're up here warming up, and he says, all right, I got three more points. You start to hear a groan from in front and behind. And I'm making fun of Jeff right now because, you know, he's here, but I mean, it's the same thing for all of us. And you may not think that we hear the groans, but we hear the groans. And that's what's happening. It's an internal kind of, right? Three groanings in this passage. The first groan is this, creation. Creation is groaning. For the sake of time, I won't go back and reread it, but it's verses 19 to 22. Think about natural disasters. Think about Hurricane Harvey just last year in Houston. $125 million in damage. 107 people lost their lives. A few years back, I think 2011, the earthquake and tsunami that hit Japan devastated it. Tornadoes last year. 1,400 tornadoes in the U.S. alone. 35 people died. Just natural disasters seem to be just everywhere. I mean, even recently, the volcanoes in Hawaii, just these natural disasters. And you think about this passage, and it just, creation is groaning for that day. I heard a pastor many years ago talk about wolves howling. And compared to this passage, and if you think about wolves howling, it's just this mental picture of like, even the wolves know, man, it's broken right now. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for that day that God is going to come back and restore things. It groans for a better day. Why does it groan? Look at Romans 8:20, just before this passage here. For the creation was subjected to futility. It wasn't on its own. It wasn't willingly, but because of him who subjected it. In hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Creation groans. And no matter how hard we try, we can't fix things all the time. Some things, yes, we can fix. A lot of things that life throws at us, we simply cannot fix. But there's a promise that we can count on. The glory revealed is in Revelation 21. John, who writes this, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." It's not going to last. What is broken now will not last forever. John saw this vision of a future creation when Jesus is going to return. And for everyone who is a surrendered follower of him, throughout the course of time, will be taken to a place where there is no sickness, no brokenness, no fear, no depression, no anxiety, no death. Perfection, the way that creation originally was intended to be. Does that not excite you? Does that not give you hope through whatever it is you're dealing with right now? Because if you're sitting here and you're not a believer, you're thinking, what is he talking about? What does this even look like? It's so far from reality that I can't even process what's being said. That's why you have to have the right perspective. Because if you're a follower of Jesus, then this is an incredibly life-giving passage. Creation groans. The second groan is the church. Romans 8:23, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, Christ's followers, I gotta quit doing that, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait. What's that word? Eagerly for adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. See, if those of us who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, we just celebrated that, right? Those of us who have been redeemed by Jesus have already been adopted as a son or a daughter of God, but our bodies will not be complete until we get new ones, right? And so we groan because of the misery of living in our current fallen, broken bodies. Ray Stedman, theologian, says this. It's a long quote, so bear with me. Our lives consist of groans. We groan because of the ravages that sin makes in our lives and in the lives of those we love. We also groan because we see possibilities that are not being captured and employed. And then we groan because we see gifted people who are wasting their lives and we would love to see something else happening. It is recorded that as he drew near the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus groaned in his spirit because he was so burdened by the ravages that sin had made in a believing family. He groaned, even though he knew he would soon raise Lazarus from the dead. So we groan in our spirits. We groan in disappointment, in bereavement, in sorrow. We groan physically in our pain, in our limitation. Life consists of a great deal of groaning. Does that relate to anyone? we find ourselves groaning for various reasons often, because we live in a broken universe. And we groan because we've kind of been given a down payment. We've caught a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like when we encounter Christ. So we see, and every now and then we can catch brief glimpses of what heaven is going to be like. And so then that almost causes us to groan, because then we're like, oh, we're not there yet. So I don't get it all, but man, I see what's coming. And I'm excited about it, but at the same time, I'm not excited about it because I got to deal with this right now. And so we groan. And we read in Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians 15:35. I'm not going to read that one either, but you can write that one down and go. Paul's talking about this new body that we're going to get when Jesus comes back and restores us. So I'm going to have to say goodbye to this beautifully broken specimen and welcome in a whole new body. It's a beautiful picture. It's a beautiful picture, but until then, I'm going to groan, and you're going to groan, and we're going to long for an end to the suffering. We're going to long for an end to these tragic news stories that keep popping up. We're going to long, when is that day coming? When is it coming? I think Trey mentioned last week we're in this time of the already and not yet. I think I heard that on his message. We're in this already and not yet. Already and not fully, but we hope and we wait. And the full promises are unseen, but they are promises. And that's what we put our hope in. And we can't fall into the trap of, I want it now. I want perfection now. I want it fixed now, because what happens when we want that and we slip into that quickly, because we're humans and we're spoiled Americans, and we slip into that now, that easier than we like to admit. But when we slip into this, we want it now, what inevitably happens is we start trying to micromanaging things. We're like, I'm going to pull my bootstraps up. I'm going to get this done. And what ends up happening is, when we're not patient, we're not waiting, we're not trusting in the Lord, we're not trusting in each other, it takes us down a path that is hard to get out of. And it drops us into sin, where we're ultimately, what we're experiencing is a temporary fix. But all it's doing is covering the reality that we're living in a broken world. We groan. And the third groan is this: it's the Holy Spirit. It's not just us. It's not just creation. It's God, the Holy Spirit, in verses 26 and 27, groans for us. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We know that, right? I mean, we know that we have the Holy Spirit in us. We know that He's our helper. We know that He's going to help us be strong and help us in our weakness. We know that. For we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. See, this is the part that we sometimes overlook. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And we have God in us, those of us who have experienced the grace of God, and He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Is that not amazing and mind-boggling? The Spirit intercedes for us, helping us in our weakness. And it's these times when you get punched by life, and maybe it's just a bunch of little ones just right after another, but you get to this point where you're ready to throw in the towel. You're weak, you're mentally exhausted, you're frustrated, life is overwhelming, you have no words. Been there? All of us have been there at some point. No words. I got nothing. Now, some of us may be too proud to admit it, but we've been there, and we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn. We're just paralyzed, because we just don't know. And what Paul is saying in this passage, especially in moments like this, for those who are in Christ, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, is interceding on our behalf with groanings too deep for words. You know, too often, as Christians, we just assume things. And we assume that because we're sitting here next to friends and family, we assume each other's having a healthy prayer life. We assume each other is in the Word consistently. We assume things are going well because we just assume those things. And it's a bad assumption to have because many of us are not in a healthy prayer life right now. And many of us are not in God's Word very often, and yet we are believers of Jesus Christ. And so we cannot just assume that everything is okay with each other. We have to love each other enough to ask those questions. We have to pray. And I have conversations all the time, I'm sure Jeff, most of us do, conversations all the time with Christians who would say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. You know what? Jeff said it best. Ask questions. When he's talking about Istanbul, ask questions. I mean, it is okay to ask questions. It's okay to wrestle with this stuff because it's life. But we need to ask questions because what happens is when we want to raise up our pride and our ego, we don't ask questions and we become fearful and we think that people are going to look down on us. So what happens is we drift away and we walk away from the help that we need to be clinging to. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us, but the church is part of that, to lean into each other and to help each other. There are seasons of life, the dark night of the soul, where we just struggle and we just don't know how to pray. I mean, we're just kind of paralyzed and we're hurting. That's just life. We have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to intercede on our behalf. When we're reading God's Word and it's like black letters on a white piece of paper and it's just not making sense, press in. Keep pressing. Pray for the Holy Spirit to enlighten the words. That has to happen anyway. Push through these seasons where we just feel like our wheels are spinning and hope for that day that will come. And if you're restless, just, man, take a walk. We are surrounded by God's creation that's beautiful. Go take a walk. One of my favorite stories from Montreal is a guy who grew up in India. His name is Ben George. And he lives in Montreal now. He's an engineer up there. He got connected with the church plant that we're helping. And he had some bad addictions in his life. And he grew up knowing. He'd been to church. He'd been in Bible studies for 17 years in Dubai. He knew the gospel, but he was just going through the motions. And so he gets connected with the church in Montreal, and for about a year, it's just kind of still going through the motions, and his personal life is still a wreck. And he told me, man, Dave, it was just so crazy. I just got to a point where I was just so overwhelmed. I took a walk in a park, and I hit my knees, and I just started crying out to God. And that was about a year ago. And for the past year, he's just been on this incredible journey where God is just wrecking his soul in an amazing way and changing his life. Those are the stories that we bring back home. And it's just like, that's what it's supposed to be. And so I'm telling you, if you're in one of these ruts right now, take a walk. If you don't have somebody to lean on or turn to, take a walk and go plead for God to just fill you. Plead for the Holy Spirit. That's what has to happen. So now what? Creation groans, the church, we groan, the Holy Spirit is groaning. So now what? The key question was, how do we deal with this? How do we live and respond in a world that's currently broken, and yet we know this hope is coming? How does this play out in life? You go back to verse 18. And you remember, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. And we cling to that hope that Paul has given us. So one thing for the unbeliever, if you're here in this room, and I have to be honest, just because you're here doesn't make you a believer. Just because you've been coming for years doesn't make you a believer. If you want to be honest with yourself and you would say, you know what, I've never truly surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, then you have to realize this is not the way life is supposed to be. Realize things are broken right now. Realize that, and then the very next thing, plead for God to radically change your soul. Plead for God. Plead for grace. Plead for forgiveness because it's available. Surrender to that. That has to be the next step. Otherwise, none of this makes any sense and none of this matters. Plead for God to enter your soul and change it forever. Three things for the believer who would be here. And the band, are you guys doing a song? They're done. So, three things for the believer. If I was holding the mic, I'd drop it and walk off. Three things for the believer. Remember, things are not currently right. That's a reality. Things are not right currently. You're not always going to be treated the way you deserve. You very likely don't treat people the way they deserve. Things don't go the way we should. And when we start to see through this lens, we can start to kind of catch what Paul is saying when he's like, man, I don't do what I'm supposed to do, and I do what I know I'm not supposed to do, and it's just a wrestling match. All right? Things are messed up currently. The world's not right. So that's the first one. Just remember. Remember, we are living in the now but not yet. Number two is this. Ask God for help. Just because you have surrendered your life to Him doesn't mean it's a like, all right, roll with it, go. It should be a constant dependence on Him and the Holy Spirit. We just don't seek help enough. We don't ask questions enough. God is working and moving in our lives. The Holy Spirit convicts us when we're sinning, challenges us when we're not doing what we should be doing. We need to lean on that. Ask for more of the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. We need to be pleading with Him throughout the day, and I know we have to rely on that. That's why Jesus told His disciples, listen, you're going to be better off because I'm leaving. The Holy Spirit's coming, and He's going to help you. He's going to empower you. He's going to give you strength. So we need to be leaning on the power of the Holy Spirit and leaning on the Word of God in prayer, leaning on the church. We need to ask for guidance, ask for strength, ask for boldness. Our team said the same thing. We come back here and it's like, why do we complicate things so much as Americans? We go to a foreign country and it's like, man, I want to talk to somebody. I want to share Jesus with somebody. We're surrounded with people who don't know Jesus. Ask, pray for boldness. Don't assume it. Don't assume that because we live in Southwest Virginia, everybody's on the highway to heaven. Right? I mean, we have to have boldness. Speak the truth with love and with grace. But we need to ask. Ask questions. That's the second thing. Third is this. Praise God. It won't always be like this. It will not always be like this. And that should compel us to hope for a better future. You getting this? Like, we should be hoping in a better future because it's coming. We should celebrate the hope. Too many times we as Christians walk around with no joy in our life because we have forgotten what Paul is promising here. When we see the next natural disaster, as tragic as it is, the church, yeah, we should pray about how we can help out with that if possible. Sure. But also realize that in that moment, man, a day is coming where that's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen. We can look at them. We can pray for them for sure. We can step in and help. But until that day comes, creation is going to groan. You've done horrible things probably in your life. No doubt, because we're all broken, sinful human beings. But there is hope if you are surrendered to Jesus. The old is gone, and the new has come. What you're currently dealing with won't always be like this. Whatever baggage you drug in here today, however full the car is with it, doesn't matter. It won't last forever. It won't last forever. There's a song, right, where it says, joy comes in the morning, right? As Christians, we need to live with that. We need to live with the hope that's coming so that we can be a light to a dark world and we don't have to go to another country to be a light. We can be a light in our neighborhood. We can be a light in our workplace. We can be a light to our own family with joy, knowing that what we're dealing with today, the sufferings, the anxiety, all of that, doesn't compare. It does not compare to the glory that will be revealed to us on that day. So right now, we eagerly and patiently hope. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, Lord, I just pray if there's anyone in this room who does not know you, does not truly know you in their heart and in their soul, God, that your Spirit would just compel them, even in this moment. Man, what do I need to do to be saved? God, they're missing out on eternity. So I pray that you would just move in hearts and minds and souls, Lord. And God, it's heart-wrenching to know the numbers in other countries who have no idea you even exist, much less who you are. So God, may we never take advantage of the hope that we have in you. May we never take for granted that we are surrounded in a place where it's okay to meet in a coffee shop with your word spread open wide, reading and discussing and praying. Father, thank you for the ones that you have, by your grace, saved and called into your family here. And I pray, God, that for all of us, me certainly included, Lord, that we would not lose sight of the hope that we have because your Son is coming back as King and Lord. And that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. God, please help us to remember that in the day-to-day as life just throws punches at us. As we fight spiritual battles, Father, help us to remember that. May your Spirit well up inside of us and give us strength in our weakness. And may all of this be for your glory and our good. I pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at NorthStarFamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.